The Toons are taking center stage in a worldwide display of athleticism, thanks in part to a new partnership with the Olympics. So of course you realize this means podcast.
Are you ready, eager young space cadet?
Meep, meep.
Where's the kaboom? There was supposed to be an earth-shattering kaboom.
Greetings and salutations, listeners, and welcome to the greatest show in the Looniverse. If you haven't already subscribed to our many social channels, please do. And if you'd like to review, please take the time and do so. I love hearing feedback and incorporating that into the show because it makes the show better. Or just follow one of our many social media accounts. I'm always updating anything happening in the Looniverse that I can't cover immediately on the show. So take the time and check us out. I'll be your tour guide, Jonathan Graves, through the entirety of the latest in the Looniverse. That includes news, movies, and anything going on in the world that accompanies zaniness, wackiness, Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, Porky Pig, and the rest of the gang. On today's show, we have a fellow Looney Tunes fan who's no stranger to the podcast. He's a host. He's a comedian. He is a podcaster in his own right. And we got him back. Jaquise Neal. Jaquise, welcome back to the show.
What's up? What's up? Good to be back, man. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm feeling great, man. Feeling great. Feeling loony.
Perfect. That's the perfect,
yes,
you know, mindset and mood to be in on this episode where we're going to dive into sports, everywhere sports with Looney Tunes. I mean, you have football, you have baseball, you have hockey.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, has there been a sport that
basketball.
The Looney Tunes have, you got, oh yeah, obviously got basketball. Has there been a sport Looney Tunes has not done yet? I mean, have they done pole vaulting? I don't know if they've done pole vaulting.
I'm almost sure they have.
They have?
Done pole. I'm almost sure they've done like the thing where they jumped. Yeah, I think they've done, I don't know, have they done cricket?
Yeah, see, I don't know
they've
if they've done cricket. Maybe on the Tasmania show. From the 90s.
Ah.
They might have done cricket there.
Okay.
Because that's more of an Australian game. But yeah.
Right, right. I wonder, is Looney Tunes on the international sports? You know,
yeah,
the sports down under.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, frisbee toss.
Yeah. Frisbee golf. They've never done frisbee golf.
They've never done frisbee golf. That's next. Yeah.
Yeah. I also don't know if I've ever seen a golfing episode. Like, maybe they've had, like, Have you seen a golfing episode?
Yeah, I have. See? I have, yeah.
Of course you got My Bunny Lies Over the Sea, the classic Chuck Jones short where Bugs Bunny takes a wrong turn at Albuquerque and winds up in Scotland going up against the Scottish bagpipe playing McRory.
And we didn't play that game.
Is there another one?
Golf.
Golf?
Aye, golf. Choose your weapons.
Have it your way, Mac. But don't you get a little tired running them 18 bases?
But also,
the Looney Tunes cartoons did Hole and Dumb from Pete Browngard and Alex Kirwan over there. And
yeah,
they have a movie that they made starring this guy, Daffy Duck and Porky Pig. And it's going to come out later this year.
But that's why you are who you are.
Let's focus in on some Olympic news and Olympic-sized news. Starting off with breaking news, and this was not planned. I haven't even told you about this, but Coyote versus Acme is still available for acquisition. Mm. According to a source at Warner Brothers Animation, New York Times ran an article today, April 9th, with the exclusive quote that Warner Brothers has not deleted the movie and they are still going to sell it or looking for buyers. Which is fantastic news for the Dave Green-directed film. Dave Green did Earth to Echo, TMNT Out of the Shadows. He really has and is able to capture the Saturday morning cartoon feel in his movies.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen either of those, but they're both fantastic.
Yeah.
And it stars John Cena, Will Forte, Lana Condor, and the voices from Eric Bauza. What is your take on the whole Coyote versus Acme thing going on? Because I know you've heard about it.
Yeah, no, I've heard about it. We are in a very interesting place in television, just in general, where with streaming, things can just kind of go away, especially as a lot of these like production companies have their own platforms. And without getting into the why, a lot of them are going away because, you know, we both have thoughts on that. With this in particular, I really hope this movie sees the light of day because one.
Oh, me too.
You know, we haven't. It's really it is not sad, but I would really love for a new generation to enjoy a Looney Tunes movie, right? Because we all, every generation up until ours, pretty much, has all had that big Looney Tunes, like, event, right? And now, you know, we got the new shows on Max. You know, Tiny Toons is back and everything like that. But that's nostalgia for us and for a new audience. But, you know, that's nostalgia for us. I want this generation to get their cartoon. And I want Wile E to get his cartoon. Like, he's never had.
Oh, he needs his due.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wile E, I mean, like, Wile E Coyote was. Look, they're all recognizable. But for a character who didn't speak, like, Wile E Coyote is so popular. And that man has always been getting dumped on. So I would love to see him get his due, get his flowers. We got to give him his flowers. So I hope they bring it out. I hope somebody buys it.
Me too.
I don't know how you feel about this, but it is very interesting to me. Like, branding just seems like it is something that's not going away, but, like, I can't believe that Warner Brothers would even want a Looney Tunes movie to be under another umbrella. Like, this is
it. Yeah, it's a hard pill to swallow. And in fact, the fact that you might have a Looney Tunes movie come out that doesn't have the Warner Brothers shield before it is very disheartening to me as a fan of the company, but also as a fan of these characters. Like, the Looney Tunes are the bread and butter of the company. They really were at the forefront of branding back in the day, because, I mean, even in Space Jam, you have Daffy lifting his butt and it's got the Warner Brothers logo on it and he kisses it. Like, Warner Brothers and Looney Tunes are synonymous with each other. The fact that we're even going to get, going back to the Daffy Porky movie, that is actually being distributed by a different company. It will still have the Warner Brother Animation logo in front of it, but it will be a different main production behind the distribution. So it's going to be a little bit of a weird scenario. Thankfully, that's being handled and cannot be thrown into the vault or whenever Coyote versus Acme is going. Hopefully, Coyote versus Acme is going to theaters. That's what we want. That's what we need. Great. And again, these new generation of kids, I hope they get to see this because, yeah, it could add to the legacy. It could bring in new fans. Mm-hmm. And I think that's also what the Olympics are trying to do with this new partnership, which is so cool. So Looney Tunes and the Olympics are no stranger. They actually had a deal once before. Do you know what date or what year they had a partnership with the Olympics?
Looney Tunes or one of Looney Tunes in
you,
general? Okay.
Yeah, I'm giving you a little trivia.
Give me a little trivia. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and say right off the bat, 1986.
Ooh, so close. A decade later, 1996.
Space Jam
and it
year.
Was the same year Space Jam came out. Yes, yes. And the Olympics were in Atlanta. So everything was kind of merging. And it was the Summer Olympics, but they had this partnership. If you go to the thrift market right now, if you go to any vintage T-shirt store, you are going to see Looney Tunes doing sports things.
Yeah.
You are going to see Taz kicking his soccer ball. Mm-hmm. You're going to see Bugs holding a basketball. Like, these characters and sports, they're pretty integrated into the sports culture already.
Yeah.
And it's really fascinating that we haven't had a partnership like this come about in 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's pretty fascinating.
I mean, like, you know, it is. To just talk about Looney Tunes and sports, I mean, we've talked about this on this podcast many times, but, you know, at least in the past 30 years, the biggest Looney Tune event was a basketball movie.
When the world's greatest athlete, Michael Jordan, teams up with the world's best-loved cartoon character, Bugs Bunny, you won't believe your eyes.
Pardon me, Mr. Jordan. Could I have your your John Hancock...
What's going on here?
We need your help!
Yes.
You know, that was a basketball movie with the biggest star, with the biggest basketball star at the time, and ever. Still, like many people consider ever, you know. And
I saw a kid with a Michael Jordan shirt on earlier today.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it is still prominent.
And then even if you're like, oh, well, Michael Jordan isn't the biggest star anymore, well, then they made another movie with who other people consider the biggest star now, LeBron James. So, yeah, Looney Tunes Perfect, and sports yes. has been, you know, it has been so ingrained and to... You know, someone like me who grew up watching Looney Tunes and the shorts and things like that, like that's obviously, you know, the Looney Tunes that I have in me. But for a lot of people who are 20, 25, somewhere in that age range, their introduction to Looney Tunes was probably a sports movie.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I actually put a poll up on my Instagram, which you can follow over at This Means Podcast, of which sport is more popular with Looney Tunes, and is it baseball with baseball bugs, or is it Space Jam with basketball? And an overwhelming number of people voted for basketball.
Oh, yeah.
Like, because it had the center stage, because it had the theatrical release, the home video release, kids watching it over and over and over again on VHS, mm-hmm. on DVD, and it has endured so much so that it got a sequel.
Yeah.
But that is a perfect segue to one of the quotes that we got from Warner Brothers talking about this collaboration. The Looney Tunes have a long association with sports, including a past product collection featuring Team USA during the 1996 Summer Olympics, which we talked about. 1996 also introduced fans to the beloved Space Jam, in which the Toon Squad were cemented as sports icons and paved the way for 2021 Space Jam: A New Legacy. I love how they're incorporating this kind of rhetoric around Toon Squad being iconic,
yeah.
like on the team side, where I feel like that was a bunch of little snippets of, you know, characters doing things and not really working as a team.
Yeah.
But I can kind of see where they're coming from as far as how kids saw the characters and how they, you know, bonded together and won the game alongside Michael Jordan.
Right.
I feel like that's the takeaway that they're really like harnessing on.
Mm-hmm.
But in my eyes and Looney Tunes fans, we all know like they're not teammates.
No, no, no.
they're out for revenge most of the time.
They famously don't work together.
exactly.
Yeah. No, it is funny. I mean,
a
look.
A very antagonistic bunch.
Those two squad jerseys though. Still, the originals.
Yeah. They're fire.
Not these new joints.
Yes.
Sorry. You know. But them original joints, them joints still good, man. Them joints still good. I get why the new movie didn't add, you know, like didn't just use the same jerseys. Everything has to change. Everything needs to be new. But I don't think anybody would have complained if, like, that was the same jersey like
sure.
that they used. Sure. Yeah.
They wore them for a second.
They did. They did.
In that one animated scene.
Yes, but I forgot about
before
that.
Before they switch into live action. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the CGI.
This means war.
Whatever, Bugs.
Yeah. Another quote we have. Anne-Sophia Vaumaud, managing director over at IOC Television and Marketing, stated, through the licensing collaboration with Warner Brothers Discovery Global Consumer Products, the timeless charm of Looney Tunes characters will add to our celebration of the Olympics values. The power of sports, the power of creating friendships, and cultivating respect and bringing together a world to pursue the value of excellence. Now, again, we kind of hit on it a little bit, but the shorts that we're going to be discussing here and there on this episode show off individual athleticism between Bugs and the Crusher. If you're going for the wrestling match in Bunny Hugged, or you have Daffy and Elmer boxing it out in a fantastic display of vitality on Elmer's side, because he's getting punched left and right and coming back for more. I mean, I guess that's the thing with Looney Tunes is the persistence. We brought up Wile E. Coyote, the persistent chase. That is what we love about these characters, is that they can take hits, they will get knocked down, but they will always get back up.
Yeah.
And I think that is a value that really the Olympics can explore and lean on when it comes to these characters. What do you think about the whole aspect of togetherness and teamwork used by the Looney Tunes to exemplify that?
Yeah. I mean, I think that it is a pretty good parallel, because you kind of alluded to this with the Toon Squad. The Olympics generally is a hodgepodge of people who are good at one sport all coming together and then, you know, going against other countries from that same sport. Same thing with the Looney Tunes. It's a hodgepodge of people who we all recognize who are going to come together and, like, you know, maybe they're not a team all the time, but, like, you know, it's kind of like the Avengers. When you get, like, a bunch of characters that you love together, you want to see them work together, right?
Yeah,
and that is
absolutely.
That's the same. That's why the Dream Team was so popular.
You heard of the Dream Team? Well, we're the Mean Team.
When you have recognizable characters and or people and you put them on the same team, you put them together, like, that creates storylines, right? And that is what the Olympics really wants. They want storylines. So, like, it's a good marriage for what the Olympics would love to have and what Looney Tunes can offer it. And also, you look, you've been seeing all those Olympic commercials. They're really leaning into comedy.
So, yeah, man, I honestly get it. And honestly, what better group of misfits to have to bring that to your forefront than the Looney Tunes, right? So I think it's a perfect marriage, and it feels right. It'll be fun.
It does feel right. And I have the utmost faith within the marketing team to utilize them to the best of their ability, including the Acme Boot Camp, which we got as a reveal on April Fool's Day, which turned into the Acme Fools, which is a month-long celebration. And it started on the 1st, and it's going all the way to the last day of April. With the Acme Boot Camp came Train Like a Tune. This is a mantra that is being utilized within the athletic community. And we already have videos from Nick Mayhew, an American runner and Olympist, Sky Brown, Great Britain's youngest gold medalist for skateboarding, Ping Ping Lee, or Christine Ping Ping Lee. She's a Canadian gymnast, and her video is actually my favorite. She's wearing a Tweety shirt and starting upside down and doing some somersaults and stuff like that. It's really fun. And all of these, again, incorporate, like, Acme holes, like the invisibility holes, and, like, the way that they have incorporated the antics that Looney Tunes are known for into their workouts is just really inspiring.
When you strive for excellence, people will call you despicable. They'll call you rascally. They may even call you a rackin' frackin' varmint.
But at Acme, that's never stopped us. It's only made us stronger.
And no one did it better than Schaefer Delgado, who's a professional breakdancer, and he's breakdancing while using 3 Acme holes on 3 different walls and tossing a ball, and he's catching it and throwing it and catching it and throwing it. It's really fascinating to watch that, and a little dizzifying, I guess, is a word I would say, to witness. But I just love how they're incorporating such cartoon abilities into their workout. Yeah. Have you seen these? And what was your takeaway there?
Yeah, I saw a couple of them. They're super fun. I mean, honestly, look, you know, if you can get hit with an anvil and keep on going, you can do a sport. you know, if you can fall off a cliff and then come right back at it, like Wile E. Coyote. You can play basketball. You know.
Daffy has definitely proved that as well.
Uh-oh. Time to hit the old silk. Geronimo!
Thunder is spreading such in the tree. The village smithy slants. The smith mightier than man is save as strong as soon.
Yeah. I love it, man. It's fun. I think it's fun. And that's the cool thing. You know, the last Olympics was COVID, the COVID Olympics.
Yeah.
And then also, you know, not to bring something dark into this, but also the controversy surrounding, like, the women's gymnastics team from the Olympics previous to that, right? So, like, I understand the Olympics figuring, like, yo, like, not only is this a celebration of teamwork and sport, you know, for the world, But we also want people to enjoy watching like this, right?
Yes.
We want people to enjoy watching these and to root for some of these people and to root for the Olympics, right? You know, because that's the fun part of it. And yeah, like, what better, like, again, what better group of people as wacky, that's zany, but that also you understand exactly what they are doing there, right? Teamwork, coming together. You know, I don't normally work with you, but when we do work together, when Bugs and Daffy do work together, you know.
It's magic.
It's magic.
Yeah.
It's magic. Yeah, it's great. I think it's great.
So speaking of catching anvils, there is actually going to be a social media filter that comes across TikTok that will gamify your feed, your video. And one of the games and experiences that is going to be included in this is catch the anvils. So you're going to be able to move your head and catch anvils as it's falling. That's really fun. Whack a duck is another one. And more loony stunts that will be able to focus on the five areas of fitness.
Acme Bootcamp has been curated and crafted by the Looney Tunes around five key areas of fitness. Strength.
I don't like cowards. I like big, strong men like him.
Agility.
He's moving in like a tornado. The champ is confused. He doesn't know which way to look. Bugs lands a beauty to the solar plexus. A right to the jaw. A one to an instep. Four fast rabbit punches to the kidneys. A left hook. A right hook. A north hook. A south hook. What a fight!
Balance. Flexibility. And speed.
Acme Bootcamp. Train like a tune.
I just think that's really inspired. And again, like, what fun would it be to catch an anvil and show your friends, like, this is how I'm working out. You know, it's really wacky and zany, but it's also in tune with what's going on with the Olympics. No pun intended.
Yeah. No pun intended. Can I tell you something that's funny?
Go for it.
This has to do with anvils. I forgot where I was at. I think I was at in Orlando at theme parks. We won't say who, but I was there recently with my niece and my partner, and me and her were talking, and I was like, I don't think I've ever seen an anvil in real life. I don't think I've ever seen an anvil. And then, like, I looked up a picture and I was like, I don't think I've ever seen an anvil not in cartoon, like, cartoon form.
Yeah. They used to be everywhere.
Like, it's so funny.
Where did they all
yeah.
go?
Where did the anvils go? Where did the anvils go? I want to see an anvil in real life. But I just think it's so funny that, and then I like looked it up and then like I saw it was used a lot for like blacksmithing
yeah.
and iron and metal like forming and stuff like that. And I was like, if you dropped that on my toe, I would pass away. let alone dropping it on like heads. It's just, I just love how so unbelievable some of these cartoons are. And then especially back when the Looney Tunes were, you know, originally coming out, how just violently wacky it was. Like, the violence is so wacky. And that's what makes it so much more fun. Because, like, yeah, I can, like, you know, punch you and shoot you with a gun, which some of the episodes did have.
Yeah.
But
they were very violent.
Throwing an anvil on your head, gold. Go.
The anvil on the head is a very underrated gag, but man, when it works,
yeah.
it really works. Like, most recently, it's shown in Tiny Toons Looniversity where they're learning on, like, what is an anvil and how to use it in comedy. There's a whole lesson Daffy
yeah.
is teaching on that, and then he gets hit with one, and it's hysterical.
Sweet molasses! Who can tell me what this is? This class is going to be even easier than I thought. That is clearly an anvil.
Run! The correct answer is, in the hands of a master too, it can be anything.
So, yes,
yeah.
I fully agree that we need more anvils in our comedy. And if you can incorporate one into your show, please do.
Do it. Do it. Let's bring back slapstick in cartoons.
It's definitely needed.
I know. I know there's somebody out there listening, like, there's slapstick in cartoons still. You're just not watching. And you know what? You're right.
So we also have a collaboration with the Food Network. Warner Brothers and Acme are teaming up to give us the recipe to making the perfect Tweety cake. No birds were harmed in the making of this cake, but it looks delicious. It's a vanilla cake with yellow frosting and sprinkles, and it looks really cute. Very Tweety-like.
Yeah. Yeah. I love how cute Tweety still is.
The only thing that would make that better is if it was like some kind of weird spicy cake. So it looked cute, but it was actually
it was spicy on the inside.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you gonna eat me, you gonna feel it.
Sylvester sure does.
Feel it going down. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's really cool, man. Like, I often say this. Looney Tunes, you know, it's always the Looney Tunes and Disney. Looney Tunes and Disney, especially when we were growing up.
Oh, yeah, during the resurgence.
Yeah, those were the two. Those were the two, and in many ways they still are, to a degree. You have other ones, but those are the big boys, right?
Yeah.
And I've always said this. I've always said that Disney has the Mickey Mouse, for instance, or in particular, is probably the greatest mascot of all time. Like, you see Mickey Mouse, you think Disney. He is the mascot. There is no better symbol of branding for a specific thing than the Mickey Mouse with the two ears and Mickey Mouse himself, right?
I love his
Bugs
ice cream.
Bugs Bunny is the and ice cream. The Mickey Mouse bars are great.
So good.
Bugs Bunny is the greatest cartoon character of all time.
Heck yeah.
Like, because Bugs Bunny is an actual character that, like, I remember things that he did. I don't remember, man. And we've talked about this. Some of the new, like, Mickey Mouse shorts are very funny because they have kind of gone to, like, that old Looney Tunes style and the really,
exactly. They're more slapstick.
The crazy, more slapstick and the really harsh animation style, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. But Bugs Bunny is the greatest cartoon character of all time. And, like, I would extend that to, like, the Disney characters are all known and great, and they're, you know, but, like, Looney Tunes are the greatest cartoon characters of all time. And I think they deserve more flowers for branding, too, because, like, you know, a Tweety bird cake, that's dope, and Tweety is so cute, you know? Like, ain't nobody, you know, nothing against her, ain't nobody making a Daisy Duck cake.
Nope.
you know, or anything like that. Or, you know, when I was growing up, you remember how they would have all the hip hop shirts like Taz and Bugs Bunny with the backwards caps.
Definitely.
And all that appropriating that they were doing with that.
Quintessential,
like,
90s.
They weren't doing the quintessential 90s, man. They weren't doing that with Disney characters. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I think as well known as, like, Disney characters are for their branding, and, like, I won't take anything away from that. Disney has done a marvelous job branding those characters. I still will always say Looney Tunes characters are top tier, S tier, 1A, because not only are they still good brand, like, good branded characters, they also are funny cartoon characters as well.
I'm Jonathan Graves, and I endorse this message.
Yeah, it's great, man. It's fantastic. And that's why so many people like to work with them. Like, people like to work with Looney, like, working with Looney.
Oh, absolutely.
Shoot, even Warner Brothers is, like, you know, they letting, you know, like, Wile E. Coyote possibly go to another distribution, right?
Yeah.
When people work with Disney, they know they're working with the Disney brand.
Mm-hmm.
When people want to work with the Looney Tunes characters, they want to work with the characters because the characters are funny.
Yes.
And I think that's a pretty big distinction. I'm not saying one is better than the other, but that's a pretty big distinction that I think doesn't get talked about enough when it comes to greatest characters of all time.
Absolutely. Right? And also, could you imagine if, I don't think the excitement would be as strong if it was the Disney characters representing the Olympics.
No.
Yeah, like, that is such a good point. I never realized that before, but Warner Brothers and Looney Tunes and, you know, sports really go hand in hand, and I'm really glad that this partnership is happening for that reason.
Yeah.
But I know fans are excited about it too, because one very specific reason is the sports capsule Team Looney Tunes merchandise. Now, this is going to be through the WB Shop over at WBShop.com or Roosevelt's. They have tie-in Looney Tunes merch. I'm actually sporting the Daffy shirt from Roosevelt's right now. Mm-hmm. And
that looks great.
It is so comfortable. You have no idea that the quality of this shirt is, it breathes.
That's dope.
People wear this brand in the summertime because even though it's a dress shirt, it breathes. And it is so light. I just love the concepts that they create with the characters. And I don't think there's another label out there that's willing to work with the Looney Tunes in this creative way than Roosevelt's right now. So highly recommend checking out Roosevelt's and that collab. You also have beach towels with Sand Clouds, which is a vibrant company that deals with beachwear. Those are really fun. You have Tweety, you have Bugs, you have Daffy. The characters coming together in really fun pastel colors. Really enjoy that. And then you have, on another side of consumer products, Looney Tunes Mad Libs. Now, if you're not using puns in your Mad Libs for Looney Tunes, you're doing it wrong. I'm just going to say that out right now. Like, you have to use puns.
You got to.
It's a requirement.
Yes. Use them puns.
And
I love Mad Libs too.
Lastly, on this little like athletic tour that we're doing with these characters, the virtual challenge from the Conqueror is a way to get pins, medals, medallions, and digital cards featuring Daffy, Bugs, Wile E. Coyote as you are on individual teams with those leaders. So you can be led by Daffy Duck and told to climb a mountain, and then you have to do it, and then you send them your steps, and it, from the platform, it reads how many steps you took, and then you're rewarded. I think this is a really fun way to get kids and families involved in fitness goals. They're asking you to do a 180-mile hike. I don't know if I'm prepared for that journey, but, you know, out there is.
Somebody is.
I highly recommend checking it out over at the Conqueror Events / Looney Tunes for more information.
I love it.
Jaquez, have you ever done one of these things?
No. I should.
Would you ever?
Yeah, I think I would. Yeah, absolutely.
Given the proper motivation.
Yeah, absolutely. Given the proper motivation and how I'm feeling that day. Yeah.
That's the great thing. There's no deadline. So, like, this stretches out for as long as it's going, and you can pick it up and put it down at any time. So I think that's a really fun aspect. It's not like you have a week to complete this.
which
would be insane.
Yeah, right. Especially, you know, at our age, man. We'd be like, we got a week? All right, man, I'm not going to do it. I got too much to do, man.
I'm leaning more toward that Tweety cake than this journey with 150-mile hike.
Yeah, exactly. I do miss running. And, you know, I there is a part of me that always thinks, like, because I play sports. I play baseball. I play basketball weekly. So I am active to a degree. Nice. Severely out of shape, but I am active. And you know, I'm in more shape sometimes than others. But sometimes I wonder, like, would I ever, like, climb a mountain? And the answer is no. But, like, I wonder if I ever would climb a mountain. And, like, I think that's half the battle. Because there are some people who are, like, I wouldn't even think about it. And, like, I think about it. Like, in my mind's mind, I'm like, it would be pretty dope to climb Mount Everest. And then the other half of me was like, but you're not doing it, so.
And you never will. No way. I love sports. I love playing baseball. I grew up playing baseball. I play tennis. I play racquetball. But, like, I miss hiking as well. But I don't think I'll ever be able to climb a mountain. I mean, you know. Maybe if something happens and I get some kind of metal surgery for my legs and they're able to do the work for me. Right. I don't know.
Yeah, man, you still feel it in your back?
Yes.
Feel it in your shoulders from swinging, your arms swinging. You feel it everywhere, man. Feel it everywhere.
Well, somewhere where you won't be feeling much is on your couch. And that's going to be because you're playing Multiverses, the Warner Brothers equivalent to Super Smash Bros., but with Warner IP. You have And they're incorporating Looney Tunes in this too. Bugs Bunny, Tasmanian Devil, Marvin the Martian, they've already been added to the game in the beta version. Now, this launches on May 28th. So go over to multiverses.com, check that out, and sign up for notifications on when you're going to be able to play it. And sometimes they'll treat you with little exclusives, and you'll get videos or you'll get insight into special moves from characters. You also have Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman. Like, I don't know how this is a fair fight, but it is such a fun video game that I fully endorse it. And I've been waiting for something like this my entire life. Yeah. So I fully cannot wait for this to drop. Have you had a chance to play it?
I've not. And I'm wondering, has there ever been a major Looney Tunes video game?
Yes, there has. You've come to the right channel for this question.
Yeah. I legitimately don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, you've got Bugs Bunny in Bunny Rampage, or Rabbit Rampage, rather. That is a platformer that was from the early 90s. It is like a Mario game, but it's a little bit slower. And you play as Bugs Bunny, and you defeat his foes as you go along. Mm-hmm. You also have all of the Game Boy games. They're very retro. Yeah. You also have, I believe it was Roadrunner Death Valley Rally, which is Wile E. Coyote and Roadrunner. They're going at it. There have been so many. Currently, there's an RPG, which is a mobile app game called World of Mayhem, where you get to play as all the characters. You get to level up and continue to play and play against friends, play against strangers all around the world. And they're incorporating space opera into their new game all month long and into mid-May. So go check that out as well. But yes, there have been a slew. And one of the best ones actually was a Space Jam game where you got to play as the Toon Squad against the Monstars. And this was back in the early PlayStation days. PlayStation 1 had this game. Mm. And it was phenomenal. It was like NBA Jam, but Looney Tunes and Michael Jordan.
Love it. Oh, Michael Jordan was actually on the game?
Michael Jordan was in the game, and there were side quests. You actually had to go to his house and pick up his shorts.
That's very funny. A little fun fact. Michael Jordan wasn't even in, like, at the time when Space Jam was a thing, the biggest, the two biggest, like, basketball games were NBA Live and NBA Jam. And Michael Jordan was not in either one of those games. He was not in NBA Jam at all because licensing. Like, they couldn't get him.
Oh, wow.
And at NBA Live, they also couldn't get him. And so he was not in that game. But what they did, what EA Sports did, was they always had a player on the bench who was a white player. His name was Player 99, but that was essentially Michael Jordan. So, like, he was, like, rated super high, and his name was just Player, and then 99 was his number, and he was a white dude with, like, a Steve Kerr cut, but, like, that was the Michael Jordan, but they couldn't put him in a starting lineup, and they couldn't actually use Michael Jordan's name or likeness, so that's what they did. For it. So I find it very funny that he was in a Space Jam video game.
He's in the Space Jam video game, but that's not so the real funny. Basketball game.
But not real basketball game.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
That is wild.
Like, when Michael Jordan was able, when you were able to use Michael Jordan in basketball games, I think it was 2K was the first one sometime in the 2000s. And it was, like, a big deal because, like, you could finally – it was after he retired, but you could finally use Michael Jordan, like, in a basketball game. And it was him. It looked like him. It was him. And, like, an actual simulated basketball game. It was very funny.
Weird.
Yeah.
So we already talked about theme parks a little bit, where you hinted that you were at one with your niece, one that we will not say on air. But Warner Brothers has a theme park in Abu Dhabi that is actually going to have a new stage show around the team getting together and going to a game of some sort. I'm not exactly sure what sport they're going to be playing, but I assume it's going to be a bunch of little sport competitions, and they are all there in, I'm assuming, Toon Squad jerseys, which would be really cool. The theme park is running this from April 13th through May 26th at the park, with plans to follow at Park Warner Madrid and Warner Brothers Movie World in Australia, and more to come. So it could come to Six Flags in the United States. I don't know, but keep an eye out for that. And it will include Lola Bunny. That's what it says. So I'm thinking Toon Squad. I'm thinking maybe tennis, maybe other sports. I always wanted to see Space Jam, but bowling. Like, I just wanted them to make bowling more lively because it's such a boring game.
See them pins go, do they hit the bumpers and it explodes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or pins come alive because they get, like, shot with a cartoon ray or something, and they turn into, like, the bullets in Who Framed Roger Rabbit. They all have personalities.
You feeling frisky tonight, fellas?
Yeah!
Let's go.
Hey, listen. I think you got to write that movie. I think you got to write that movie, man.
I think I do.
Yeah. Listen, if they can make, I don't know if this is still coming out or not, but I think I heard if they can make a movie about Jenga, you can make a movie about anything.
With the success of Barbie, I think they're trying to make board game and IP friendly movies a thing. And yeah, if you have like a Jumanji style Jenga movie, I'd be into that.
That would be fun.
I know they're making Uno.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking about. I knew it was something that doesn't make sense.
I don't know the story, but I'm excited.
Listen. If it's good, I was firmly against the Lego movies. When they first heard about them, I was like, this seems dumb. And those are some of my favorite movies. They're great.
They're fantastic. Yeah. Anything Chris Lord and Phil Miller are attached to, I have full faith in.
Yeah, now I do. I didn't when I first heard. Now I do.
Totally fair.
Yeah.
Going overseas, we have a Looney Tunes team up with Fanatics and the England Rugby Union. They're going to have a range of hoodies and tees for England rugby fans of all ages. And the collection will launch on April 2nd. So it's already out there. Go check out englandrugbystore.com for more and check out those fun designs. And one last one, in Japan, Looney Tunes are teaming up with Major League Baseball to launch a t-shirt collection at selected Jeansmate stores. I am not even going to try to pronounce some of these store names, but that is coming in late spring, and I will be sure to post photos and links to where you can find that in Japan on my Instagram over at This Means Podcast. So,
I will be in Japan for almost a month.
Oh, wow. When are you going?
So, I'll be there mid-April through mid-May, basically.
Right when this is happening. So you'll have to send me photos.
So I will. I'll send you some live and in-action photos.
Perfect. So some of the classic sports that the Looney Tunes have been associated with are obviously basketball. We have cannonball basketball, where Super Rabbit is playing against really himself and making goals with a really heavy cannonball that the other characters in that short cannot even handle. The horse is getting trampled with, and Cottontail Smith is like nowhere to be found in any of that gameplay. Yeah. Love it. Baseball Bugs shows off baseball in a whole new way. You have the Gas House Gorillas going up against Bugs Bunny, a one-man team.
Attention, please. Attention. There's been a slight change in the teetotaler lineup. Catching, Bugs Bunny. Left field, Bugs Bunny. Right field, Bugs Bunny. Pitching, Bugs Bunny. Third base, Bugs Bunny. Center field, Bugs Bunny. First base, Bugs Bunny. Shortstop, Bugs Bunny. Second base, Bugs Bunny.
That is always a fun one.
This was one of my favorite.
Oh, good. I was just about to ask, what is one of your favorite sports shorts?
Baseball Bugs is one of my favorite sports shorts, for sure.
Fantastic.
Just everything about it. Everything about it. And I would wonder if this is where a lot of those a lot of those things, like, I wonder if this was like brought it to the forefront. And then Bugs with the one of my favorite gags of all time is he throws like just like the slowest, wackiest knuckleball pitch, and it is like one, two, three, you're out. 1, 2, 3, you're out. 1, 2, 3, you're out. It's just such a good, it's so funny, and it's such a good baseball like wacky short.
Yes.
So yeah, I love that one. I love Baseball Bugs. That's probably my favorite one.
My favorite gag in that, and this is from the Frizz Freeling 1946 short, when Bugs Bunny is up to bat and the Gas House Gorilla manager or one of the players beats up the umpire and takes over his uniform, and he's behind the plate. Bugs swings and rounds all the bases, comes home, slides, and then the umpire, well, the Gas House Gorilla in the umpire garb goes, "You're out!" And Bugs zoops into his suit. He's inside the helmet of the umpire. He's like, "What do you mean I'm out?"
"You're out!"
"What do you get that malarkey? I'm safe."
"I said you're out."
"I'm safe."
"You're out."
"Safe."
"Out."
"Safe."
"Out."
"Safe."
"Out."
"Safe."
"Out."
"Safe."
"Out."
"Safe."
"Out."
"Safe." "Out."
"I say you're safe. If you don't like it, you can go to the showers."
"Okay then, Doc. Have it your way. I'm safe."
Yeah.
And they have
just
that
so funny
classic back and forth where Bugs uses his reverse psychology to make himself safe. And the Gas House Gorilla is very angered by that. It's just quintessential Looney Tunes. I think if I was sitting a kid down and being like, "You want to know what Looney Tunes are? It's Baseball Bugs."
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Just the silliness, the, you know, that is what Looney Tunes, and sports, that's like the perfect like marriage of the two.
Absolutely. And one other one I wanted to highlight was Sport Champions. This is from 1941. Also Frizz Freeling. It felt like this was a Tex Avery short that didn't get made before he left the studio because it's a variety of clips, and Tex was known for that. Nothing really about this stands out except for there's one gag that feels like it's reused in Baseball Bugs, but to better effect.
Baseball, a national pastime. Let's take a glance at that popular catcher, Gabby Hernet, in action.
"Come on, old boy, old boy, put it right in her, old kid. Oh, give me the old doctor right down the middle, old boy, old boy. Right in your groove, old kid. Come on, old boy, can't see it all, kid. Put it right in her, old boy. Little pepper up there. Target up there. Now, come on, let's go. Not too good." "That's the pitching in there.
Come on now, put it over the old plate, right down the old alley. This guy's a pushover. Come on now, boy, give it to him."
This one just felt cute, but it had a variety of sports that were being utilized that we normally don't see in Looney Tunes, like swimming and high diving. And, well, we do see high diving with Yosemite Sam.
"What? I paid my 4 bits to see the high diving act, and I'm going to see the high diving act."
And I love that short, by the way. But this was more of a grounded, you know, rotoscoped human-looking characterization of sports. And my favorite line from this is, "Bringing you the lowlights in the world of sports instead of the highlights."
Yeah. Yeah. So funny.
So now it's time for a new segment called
Fill in the Blank.
I'm going to ask our guest a Looney Tunes trivia question, and feel free to play along as a listener, and let's see if Jaquise can answer correctly.
What is Bugs Bunny's wrestler name in Bunny Hugged? This is the short where Bugs goes against the Crusher, and he dons a mask, and the referee goes,
"Ladies and gentlemen, a special announcement. A new contestant has offered to substitute for Ravishing Ronald. I give you the mask."
Blink.
Oh, man. I know. I remember this short, too. I remember this short. It's so funny because you can remember. I can remember it so vividly because you've seen it 100 times since you were 3.
Sure.
Let me see. You know how sometimes you can kind of like, all right, I can see it, but can I hear it? I'm trying to see if I can hear it right now. Give me 5 seconds.
I'll do better than that. I'll give you 3 choices.
Oh.
The Masked Avenger.
That is what I was thinking. Okay, go ahead. Give me the other ones.
The Masked Marauder.
Yeah.
Or the Masked Terror.
Okay. I don't think it was the Masked Marauder. I kind of have to go to Masked Adventure because that is what I was thinking. Although now hearing that, I'm like, maybe I've heard that from other places and I'm just kind of putting it together. Maybe. So I'm gonna cross out the Masked Marauder. It's either the Masked Adventure or what was it? The Masked Terror?
The Masked Terror.
I kind of feel like I have to just, like, go with what my gut was saying before you even said that. Because if it's right and I don't say it, I'm going to feel dumb. If it's wrong, and I'm like, okay, then I just didn't know. So I got to go the Masked Adventure. The Masked Adventure.
I give you the Masked Terror!
It is the Masked Terror.
Dang! I still feel dumb. Still feel dumb.
I should have.
Something in me told me, like, nah, man, you've heard that somewhere else. Is the Masked Avenger Captain America? That's another Looney Tunes thing, right?
Yep, it's Daffy Duck.
That's right.
The Masked Avenger is from Daffy Duck in My Little Duckaroo, where he dons the green mask and goes out in a Western style shoot 'em up. But yes, the Masked Terror is the purple mask over Bugs, very Spider-Man like, and he goes against the Crusher. And the only way to defeat him is to break the film reel and break the fourth wall and really confuse the hell out of the Crusher, which is great for comedic effect and great usage of breaking the fourth wall, a comedic gag that isn't used enough in today's comedy.
Very true. That's right. Okay. See, all right. I feel a little bit better knowing that, like, I was in the world. Okay.
So one of the other shorts that I wanted to highlight with you, which I feel like I never get to, is this is from New Looney Tunes. Now the Warner Brothers YouTube channel for kids, WB Kids on YouTube, is doing a live stream of a lot of the sports related shorts in Looney Tunes, and this is actually one of them. This is the Bunny and the Goon from season 3 of New Looney Tunes, used to be called Wabbit, and stars Block, Jacques, Shalock going against Bugs Bunny on an ice rink as they play hockey. Now, he is a self-proclaimed cheater in hockey
<Yeah.
laughs> and uses every little trick in the book to win against his opponents until Bugs calls him out for it. And then he challenges him to a one-on-one, you know, battle of the wits and battle of the sticks, I guess, if you will, in hockey. And the pucks fly. Let's just say that. My favorite gag in this was when Bugs Bunny uses a jockstrap.
Mm-hmm.
It is time to turn it up a notch. With my puck. Zuka!
Time to fight jock with a jock. Strap, that is.
Yeah.
To get the puck to fly back at Block, Jacques, Shalock and knock him down, ultimately defeating him.
Yeah.
Now, Jaquise, you just watched this short for the first time, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
What was your takeaway from it?
I mean, a couple. I loved that it, like, started as, like, a little mini musical.
My name's Block, Jacques, Shalock. I like to cheat a lot.
Against the rules, who is he trying to fool?
It's a more fun game when I inflict some pain.
That guy's a cheating, he deserves a beating.
Which I thought was very fun.
Right!
yeah, also, like, it was only 6 minutes short. And, like, about 4 minutes in, I was like, this is long. But not in a bad way. Like, but in, like, a... It just always cracks me up, like, how you can get an A, B, and C story, or middle, beginning, and end story in just, like, such a short amount of time that feels complete, right? This one 100% did. So I thought it was fun, man. It was also, I also enjoyed, like, I really liked, and you can tell me if this is correct or not, because I think this is what I heard, but I really liked the Looney Tunes show. We've talked about this before, right? The Looney Tunes show, which was basically a sitcom.
Correct.
And I loved, I thought, I wish that would have had so many more seasons because I thought it was so funny and so well done. And it's so interesting. It's one thing that I always wish about cartoons, where I wish they would make like a show that shows that they are either A, actors, or two, put them in situational comedy, as like real, you know, people and not just these entities that exist in, you know, Looney Tunes world.
Yeah.
So I loved that show, and this was, they canned that show because this one was coming out.
Correct. So this was a rebooted version of Looney Tunes after Looney Tunes show. Before Looney Tunes cartoons. Before this guy.
Before Looney Tunes cartoons. So one thing that I also took away from it, because I admittedly have not watched much of the new Looney Tunes show, or of the new Looney Tunes shorts, but one thing that I took away from it is they are essentially models of the characters from the Looney Tunes show. So I thought that was true. I thought that was fun. I thought that was really fun. And that was something that I loved about... you know, the Looney Tunes show, and this short in particular, was like a lot of these side characters got to have like fun adventures outside of just, you know, being side characters in one or two cartoons. So I thought that was super fun.
Yeah, Jessica Borutsky did the redesigns in Looney Tunes show, and they're carried over in some respects into new Looney Tunes. And Jacques Shalock. What a name. He originally stems from a Robert McKimson Ted Pierce short back from 1959 called Bonanza Bunny, where he is looking for gold in 1896 during the gold rush, and Bugs Bunny is just finding gold left and right and trading him in for carrot juice. And he's like, what?
So funny.
It's very much a Yosemite Sam amalgam of character. He even has the two pistols.
Hey, now who'd do a dirty trick like that?
Black Jacques Shalock, that's who?
What's up, Jacques?
Your hands up, that's what?
It's just a really fascinating exploration of these tertiary characters that could use some more time in the spotlight, like you're saying.
Yeah.
But yeah, this short is really fun. It starts out as a musical, goes into furious sports camp, and it just... I don't know. I just had a blast with it. I just thought it was really funny. And it ends on one of those hockey cleaner vehicles. I don't remember the name of them. Zambonis, yes. So it ends with Block Shock Shalock riding a Zamboni, trying to squish Bugs and his partner, Squeaks the squirrel. And he's like, nah, this is going to take forever. I got to go.
Hey, Doc, as much as I'd love to stay and have you crush me, it's getting late.
Yeah.
So they just leave.
Very funny.
I had such a blast with it, and I really recommend it.
Same.
Going into Looney Tunes cartoons, I wanted to spotlight Basket Bugs. This is Bugs Bunny versus Dunk Ellington, and it's just like this really overly muscular, big, broady guy. And he is excelling with beating the crap out of people that are just playing basketball for fun.
Yeah.
And he shoots the ball down the hoop, and it goes all the way down into Bugs's hole and smashes his bathtub.
Hey, what's this? That's no way to treat an adorable, cute little rabbit like me. Well, you leave me no choice but to retaliate in brutal fashion and leave you begging for moisey. And I will, too.
And so he pops up and challenges him to a one-on-one basketball game to endless joy for me, the viewer. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you as well.
Yeah.
Did you get a chance to watch this one? And what was your takeaway?
I did not get a chance to watch this one. So I don't think... I can't remember if... I looked for this one and I couldn't find it. But I also may be dumb and just missed it. But it sounds great. I'm going to go see it. And you know what? I have watched a lot of the new Looney Tunes shorts. I don't have as much memory retention to them because, you know, like the old ones, you just watched it. You've seen those a million times each.
Sure.
So I have a lot more memory retention. So I've probably seen it like when it was originally coming out. But like, yeah, I can't remember it as much. But like, I do love the new Looney Tunes shorts. The voice cast is great. They're super fun, man. They're super fun. The only gripe I have about them, and it's not even a gripe about them, it's just a gripe about TV today, is that, like, I so much enjoyed, like, channel flipping and just seeing a Looney Tunes cartoon on, right? Like, yes. that was, I mean, yeah, Saturday morning cartoons or even, like, Boomerang growing up or wherever channel they came on, you would seek it out, yeah. But also, like, they would just be on TV. It would almost come to you in a way that, like, in this busy world with so much streaming options and so many things to watch and things that like that, like, I am sad for today's generation that they have to go seek a lot of these things out that just came to us. And we were, like, blessed.
We need a Looney Tunes free channel.
Yeah, you do. You do.
One of those, like, Pluto channels or the Roku channels.
100%.
100%. Just 1,000% streaming Looney Tunes.
Yeah, because that's what a lot of these cartoons, that's what a lot of stuff we grew up, like, animation and cartoons, like, a lot of that just came to us. Like, we weren't seeking as much of this out as we think. So, like, because of that, I think, you know, the repetition of watching a lot of things doesn't quite hit as hard for me as it used to. Because I'll watch it once, and then, like, I'll be like, all right, I'll watch it. But back in the day, you would just watch it because it was on all the time.
You didn't have a choice.
It was a beautiful thing. It was a beautiful thing. And I'm very lucky that I got to grow up in that era of television watching.
Me too. Yeah, the resurgence of Warner Brothers animation and the renaissance of Disney animation really provided the groundwork for the appreciation that we have today as fans.
Yeah.
100%.
100%.
Hooray for Bugs Bunny! Three cheers for the winner, Bugs Bunny! Basketball champion of the world!
That does it for this exploration of Looney Tunes in sports. Jaquise, thank you so much for being on the show. Where can people find you, and do you have a new comedian feud coming up?
Actually, I do. So, one, people can find me anywhere on social media, at Jaquise Neal on Twitter and Instagram. I don't really use Twitter, like that, but I'm on there. So Comedian Feud, if you don't know, is a live stage version of the Family Feud game show, that is played with, you know, big name comedians in the Los Angeles comedy community and on TV and film and stuff like that. We have a lot of really fun people who you've seen on a lot of comedic television and movies. So it's super fun.
Love it.
We have another one coming up soon. It's our 2-year anniversary show. It's probably the next one after this episode.
Congrats.
Which is May 24th, 2024.
Awesome.
And we will be live streaming it, so you can watch it anywhere.
Where can people go to find information on that?
My website is probably the easiest place.
Okay.
JaquiseNeal.com. That's probably the easiest place to go find information on that. And if a link is not up yet, check again in a week or so after, because, like, a lot of times the link will go up once everything is set, because these shows sell out pretty quickly. So, you know, I generally will put and announce things a little closer to the date, to give people a little better chance to buy tickets, because our last show sold out in like 2 days, and you know, they usually sell out in like 2 to 7 days depending on the show. So but again, live stream. So if you are in LA and you want to try to come, by all means. If you are not in LA or you can't get a ticket, check out the live stream. It's going to be a good old time.
Congrats to all your success over there. And you can follow the podcast on all social media at OFC This Means Pod or This Means Podcast. I've been your host, Jonathan Graves. Thank you so much for listening. And as always, that's not all, folks. Have a good day.
I'll perplex him with my slow ball.
One, two, three strikes, you're out. One, two, three strikes, you're out. One, two, three strikes, you're out.